give you a warm welcome on behalf of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration of the United States, on behalf of the Australian Government through its Department of Supply, and on behalf of Spacetrack Proprietary Limited to Deep Space Instrumentation Facility 42. Today's ceremony marks a great step forward in a partnership, albeit ours is a junior partnership, in space research. It is an exercise which will go to enriching the world's technology, and out of this there is a little fallout for us in Australia. It is a project which develops great international understanding and friendships at a time when the world stands sorely in need of both of these things. And gentlemen, it's a partnership which means a good deal to Australia in terms of the availability of modern technology. Because in this project, the key is that technicians associated with the station shall go to the United States and there to receive their technical training. The United States has freely made available to us in Australia the use of all NASA equipment when not required on their own projects. And this is a service which has been used quite extensively by our own departments and on occasion by our universities. We have full access to the results of this space research. And of course, the fact that weather satellites are today taking over much of the task of meteorology, the fact that the output of the United States weather satellites is available to Australia means that we've been able to upgrade considerably our meteorological service. All of these are byproducts of space development. All of these are avenues through which the generosity of the United States has been clearly shown. And in this, I'm bound to say, the United States is not a misunderstood friend in Australia. Of course, there is very great virtue in getting to know each other in the scientific and technical, as well as in the political and social field. And if it weren't for activities of this kind, how else would the United States and the more forward-looking technical world know about Tidburn Billow? But in fact, the United States not only knows it's here, but they can tell you within 50 yards, plus or minus inches, exactly where Tidburn Billow is. And we value the personal associations that come out of the space project. I recall a little while ago when we had the pleasure of a visit from the United States Congressional Committee on Science and Astronautics. To the best of my knowledge, this is the first time that we have had a visit from a full committee of this kind. And of course, after the manner of politicians visiting abroad, they were out to see whether there was any gold plating going on in the overseas organization paid for by the taxpayer. And I happened to be a very interested spectator to that final moment when they really found some gold plating. Because as we walk through the halls, to which you will be admitted shortly, there is some highly complex technical equipment which needs to be gold plated. Well, this started a file, as you can imagine, and finally the file for explanation came down to my good friend Dr. Recton, whose scientific home is the Jet Propulsion Laboratories, and this worthy gentleman, with his mind more on science than on the devious ways of politicians, wrote an answer to this and said, yes, it's gold plated, but underneath we silver plate it first. But what this does, gentlemen, is tell us something of the extraordinary complexity and the astounding demands of modern techniques which go into the space age. And some of this, as I say, you will be glad to see for yourself quite shortly. I had rather hoped that we would have some members of the committee here with us today, but unfortunately they are heavily engaged before the Congress in arguing for their budget. And their budget, I may say, looks like $5.3 billion for the coming year. Well, history repeats itself in this because it's 500 years, give or take a year, since Christopher Columbus thought to finance an expedition into what new worlds he might find, even at the expense of Queen Isabella's jewels. These days, of course, there is the same kind of procession, slightly elaborated, because the scientists of today must go to the Treasury looking for money. It's a little more expensive because, as I understand it, there has been some inflation in the last 500 years. Anyhow, things seem to cost a good deal more. But then, as now, there were people who questioned the reason for this kind of activity. And just as Columbus was questioned, so are the space scientists today, asked to justify their work. All I know is that on every hand there is evidence that in engineering, in transport, in communications, in every aspect of business and industry today, there is evidence of the fallout into everyday life of the scientific principles which have been discovered and refined because of space developments. In our Department of Supply, we seek to enrich Australian industry for defence and for all other purposes by giving them access to modern technology. And so the station which you see before you, as well as others in the space network, are operated by contract. And I therefore happy to acknowledge today the implications in this program of Space Track Proprietary Limited, a company formed of Hawker de Havilland, Australian Electrical Industries, and Elliott Automation, three great names in modern industrial practice here in Australia. And between them, they've provided much of the amenities you see here, they've superintended its erection, they've paid every attention to the comfort of the staff and to the efficiency of the operation of this undertaking. But if a word of thanks is due, I should also like to address those words to the landowners in this area of the Australian Capital Territory, because this is only one of a complex of three tracking stations presently being built in this section of the Australian Capital Territory. It's a project in which we've had the cooperation of the landowners, even at some sense of loss and inconvenience to them. We appreciate this very much. We're appreciative to the contractors who have done so much to get the station built on time, so faithfully, and into operation. I would express a word of thanks to the officers of my own department who've worked long and hard and harmoniously with our United States principles. This is a great occasion when we're called upon to dedicate this facility to the advance of science, to the growth of human knowledge, and to the safety of those courageous people who will venture into a hostile environment in space. Happily, today's event has been noted at headquarters. Our own, because I'm delighted to acknowledge the presence with us today of the Right Honourable the Prime Minister, who gives in this way his blessing to a great undertaking in partnership. I'll have the pleasure of introducing him in a moment. But in the meantime, the episode has been noted at that other headquarters in the White House. For today, we have a message from the President of the United States addressed to the Right Honourable the Prime Minister, but I'm going to presume on the Prime Minister for the first time and ask that the Chargé d'Affaires of the United States Embassy should make this message public. Mr. Leidman will read the President's address, and in the terminology of modern commercial television, there will be a pause for this message from our sponsor. Mr. Leidman.
Thank you.